It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Billed as everything that makes Pittsburgh awesome, Pittsburgh Magazine's 412 blog is a combined effort by the publication staffers covering up-to-the-minute trends and stories in the Steel City. We've invited Sean Conboy, online editor, to tell us about three of the most popular stories currently trending on the 412 blog. Sean Conboy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about this Harvard study regarding Pittsburgh's social mobility. What about this?
So I think anyone who's ever been on Facebook or Twitter knows that we're in the age of the bogus ranking. And so we've
the age of the bogus ranking.
So we're constantly bombarded with new rankings, you know, ranking cities for livability and social mobility.
But we're always
like
at the top. It's generally good news, right?
It is always good news. But the difference in this case was that a lot of the previous studies for livability were very subjective, right? So what data do you look at to kind of understand social mobility? It's kind of difficult. And there's a new study released this year with Harvard and Cal Berkeley researchers that looked at data that's never been examined before, which is IRS tax records. So they went in and examined the records of 40 million Americans across various states. And they looked at children who were born in the 80s who would now be in their early 30s. And they looked at their income, and then they compared it to their parents. And they inflation adjusted the income and took a look at parents who would have been making the equivalent of $30,000 in today's currency, and looked at what the mobility was. Did the children, you know, move up to middle class? Did they move up into the upper classes? And what they found was that Pittsburgh was actually second behind Salt Lake City, Utah, for social mobility of those children who were born to parents that made today's, you know, equivalent of $30,000. They moved up more than any other city that they looked at, other than Salt Lake City. And now people may say, you know, well, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, those people, it was tough economic times in the 80s. Of course, Pittsburgh was transitioning from a manufacturing town to a service economy and a tech economy. But if you look at comparable cities, Rust Belt cities like Pittsburgh, like Indianapolis, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, those cities were actually at the bottom of the rankings for social mobility. And so, you know, those kids weren't really moving at all, or actually were regressing in some cases. And Pittsburgh was a major outlier within its region. And in fact, if the cities right around Pittsburgh on the list were, you know, high-income tech cities like San Francisco, San Jose, Boston. And I think that surprised a lot of people because I think most people in Pittsburgh assume that we're doing pretty well just for a mid-sized city. But actually the truth is, as far as, you know, social mobility goes, it's actually we're doing pretty well compared to any major city.
And that is surprising. So and this is based on the Harvard research. But do we know why Pittsburgh is – why things are happening here differently in this so-called Rust Belt city as opposed to other Rust Belt cities?
That's a great point because, you know, the researchers were trying to examine what factors actually caused this. And so this is something that they admitted at the end of the study actually needed further research. But what they found was stable families are a big contributing factor. So two-parent families have a lot to do with this. But one of the other big things was...
Do we have more of those here?
And that's actually what they're going to look at in the future,
okay,
to drill down and look at those cities and figure mm-hmm. out, you know, what characteristics, you know, would make those cities more adept to having more mobility. But the big thing that we know that we have here is a technology sector and also very, very good universities. And so that was the other key thing, that schools and universities, so everywhere from primary education through high school and college, cities that had very good schooling tended to have better social mobility. Now, the caveat here is that, you know, a lot of headlines came out when this study was released saying that the American dream is alive and well, and actually, you know, that the American dream isn't dead. But if you look at our mobility statistics as a whole across the country compared to other countries, it's actually quite weak compared to countries in Europe and elsewhere. So,
is that the bogus part?
Well, so I think it's just something to be aware of. Mm-hmm. So now we're talking about
so it's a matter of scale.
It is, and so like for example, so in a city at the bottom of the list, like Charlotte, was actually the biggest major city that was at the bottom of this list. There were about 60 cities that were examined. And you have about a 4% chance, if you were born in to parents in Charlotte, of moving from the bottom one-fifth up to the top one-fifth. In Pittsburgh, that number was 8%, which is a little bit better. It's doubling your chances. But in a country like Denmark, that number is actually 16%. So it is, you know, people, I think, have to look globally as well and try to figure out how we can improve education and technology on a global scale as well.
Especially in this day and age where we're so – where all of us are so much more connected than in the past. Let's move on to another thing that's trending here in Pittsburgh. Uber and Lyft are two new taxi services in the city that have been getting quite a bit of attention. And how is it trending on the 412 blog?
So this is something that's gotten a lot of comments and reaction because, you know, for people who aren't familiar with Uber and Lyft, imagine for a moment you are out in the South Hills right now and you want to get downtown, but you don't have access to a car. Well, if you call a yellow cab service, you're probably going to have to wait quite a while and, you know, it might be a pretty expensive trip. And, you know, reliability of yellow cabs is something that's been a concern and, you know, people have expressed some frustration about.
There's a concern that they might not show up.
There's definitely stories of people waiting for, you know, hours for a cab to show. Well, imagine right now you're in the South Hills, you pull out your cell phone and you see available taxis in the area. And within three taps, you will have a confirmation of a taxi driver being sent to you. And you'll also be even able to see a little icon of their vehicle and where they are in the city and how close they are to picking you up. So you can track them in real time through traffic and things like that. When they come and pick you up, they take you to your destination, South Hills to downtown, let's say $12. And there's no cash exchange. There's no tip. It's all done through credit cards. So this sounds like an impossible scenario for
no tip.
Yellow cab, right? Well, Uber and Lyft sort of specialize in this, and it's actually a reality. They're here right now in Pittsburgh operating, and they use unlicensed individuals. So it's basically – it's technically not a taxi cab, but it's called a ride-sharing program.
When you say unlicensed, they have a driver's license. They just don't have a cab driver's license.
Exactly. So you know, these are real people in your community that can – you know, you have to go through a registration process with Uber and Lyft. But, you know, basically it's taking what some people see, you know, a jitney sort of service and actually taking it into the 21st century. And, you know, a lot of people were originally skeptical about this for safety reasons and things like that. But the key with this is it's all GPS-based. So all the cars are being tracked and actually being rated on performance. So you can actually rate the driver and your whole experience after the trip is over. And it's something that I think younger generations in Pittsburgh who have been clamoring for more public transportation and easier ways to get from one part of the city to the other are very passionate about. And this is a controversial subject because the Taxi Cab Commission has, you know, of course, protested this because their point is that, you know, these people don't have to go through the same licensing hurdles that we do. And, you know, it's a valid point. And there has been other kind of issues with Uber and Lyft in that Uber actually charges surge pricing at certain times. So if you're trying to get from downtown to the South Hills, say at, you know, peak rush hour or something like that, you've got to pay more, right? Mm-hmm. But overall, people would be surprised to know that the prices are actually very, very comparable to what you would pay in a yellow cab and sometimes even less. And you actually don't have to deal with tip whatsoever. So it's a very flat fee. And they'll even quote you on a price before you hit accept. So you basically know what you're going to pay or around what you're going to pay before your journey even starts. And so it's something that has really people are very passionate about on social media. And some encouraging news on this, Lyft, which is the service which you may see around town because the cars all feature a gigantic pink mustache on the grill. So if you see them, that's a Lyft car. And they actually expanded their service recently to include the Pittsburgh International Airport, which I think is going to make a lot of travelers very, very happy.
We're talking with Sean Conboy. He's online editor for Pittsburgh Magazine's 412 blog. Pittsburgh is making news on the national dining scene. What can you tell us about this?
Sure. So earlier this year, Bon Appetit magazine, which is a very high-end foodie magazine, surprised a lot of people when they named Pittsburgh, America's next big food city. And they, you know, cited a lot of our new bars and really progressive food movements. You know, a lot of chefs doing really challenging things and things that you may not expect out of Pittsburgh, right?
So such as? What would be a progressive foodie thing?
So we're classified typically as a shot in a beer town, right?
Well, we've heard that for a long time.
Well, I think things are changing because if you go to Butcher in the Rye, which is the downtown restaurant, which was started by the brain trust of Meat and Potatoes, you can actually get a flight of Pappy Van Winkle whiskey, which is an incredibly kind of rare whiskey that's kind of mythological in the whiskey lover community as something that's really hard to get. You can actually get an entire flight of it there. And you can also get something called a shaved ice tequila cocktail, which includes elderflower liqueur and many other interesting ingredients. And so these are really high-end experimental cocktails that, you know, and I think – maybe the average person would say, well, can that work in a place like Pittsburgh? Which, you know, it is working. In fact, if you go to Butcher in the Rye and try to get a table, you're going to wait a long time. It's demand is off the charts for Butcher and a lot of other progressive restaurants in the city. And so it's something that, you know, national publications have really taken note of as well.
No longer a Boilermaker town per se. Now, speaking of drinks, Breaking Bad's Aaron Paul went on Twitter and invited people to have a drink with him on the South Side, and this just blew up. What happened here?
So Breaking Bad, Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad is played by Aaron Paul. Mm-hmm. And so Aaron Paul was in Pittsburgh filming a new movie with Russell Crowe called Fathers and Daughters. And so they've been filming around the city. Paul was here for about a week. And so he took to Twitter to basically invite all of Pittsburgh to come out and have a drink with him at the notorious dive bar Jack's on the South Side. And so people immediately started tweeting at him, are you serious? What are you talking about? And about 10 minutes later, he posted his first selfie with a couple Pittsburghers. And this started spreading like wildfire. And then you know people started showing up at Jack's and said that he was an extremely nice guy. He was actually he was there with a couple co-stars, including Justin Long. And you know they basically just had a really good time and partied with Pittsburghers in a real environment, which is kind of nice to see. And so this was something that just exploded on Twitter, and the pictures kept coming in for days. There must have been at least, you know, there were hundreds of pictures of him taking photos with people, and so it was a great thing.
Now, before I let you go, Mayor Peduto is pushing for Google Fiber. It's, I guess, another mega speed alternative. What can you tell us about this?
So right now, I think one of the most depressing times of the month is whenever your Comcast cable bill comes in and you look at how much you're paying for internet service, right? Mm-hmm. It's brutal. In the U.S., speeds are really low compared to globally. And so Google Fiber is a service that's what's called gigabit internet. And so it's 100 times faster than the typical broadband connection for about the same price. It's about $70 a month for internet service. Now, this is in a pilot phase. It's actually just recently got to Austin, Texas, and it's in Provo, Utah, and also Kansas City. And these are cities that don't have the barriers that Pittsburgh has as far as infrastructure goes. There's a lot of hills here and obstacles in the way of installing this fiber service. But Mayor Peduto, when he was at Mayor School at Harvard University, had talked with some Google representatives about Pittsburgh being very interested in this and bringing it here to kind of bolster our universities and also our medical community, because super fast gigabit internet service is something that could really help researchers in sending 3D MRIs and these things that are massive files. And so now the bad news is that recently, just as recently I think as last week, Google announced that its next potential cities were going to be Portland, Atlanta, Charlotte, and a handful of other cities. And Pittsburgh wasn't on the list. But there's clearly interest there. And actually, Mayor Peduto said a few weeks ago that one alternative may be something that is used in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is publicly owned gigabit internet service. And so Chattanooga actually got a federal grant to create its own fiber internet service in the city. And it's something that has really transformed Chattanooga, you know, a sort of Rust Belt city that doesn't really have, you know, didn't have much tech going on at all, into a place where technology companies are moving there strictly to take advantage of this super cheap, super fast internet. And what would this mean for a business? Typically in Pittsburgh right now, if you wanted a comparable service, you would have to pay anywhere between $1,000 to $4,000 per month to get it. And this is something that could cost, in Chattanooga, it costs $70. So it's extremely reasonable and could be really good to bolster business.
Good to know. Sean Conboy is online editor for Pittsburgh Magazine's 412 blog. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Coming up, correspondent Rebecca Harris looks at the economic boost we get from the Great White North. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.